Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
In 1908, John Perkins and his wife found themselves on a steamship sailing around the northwest coast of Africa, right around the nation of Liberia. The reason they were in that steamship is because they had become convinced that God wanted them to be missionaries in Africa. Unfortunately, God hadn't been so specific as to tell them where in Africa. So they were steaming around Africa, just praying for God to reveal the location. As they were going through an area called Garraway Beach, they felt like God was speaking to them again, telling them that this was to be their new home. They went to the captain of the ship and announced that this was their destination. Would he please take the boat to shore so they could get off? But the captain refused, telling them, "This is cannibal country. When people go in there, they never come back." You know, it's funny. Everyone wants to hear from God until he tells you to become someone else's lunch. You know, it's interesting. If you ask pastors, what question do you get from people the most? Right towards the top of the list would be the question, how do I hear from God? How do I get direction from God? And it is a very good question, because receiving direction from God, getting God's guidance through life, is a critical part of living life with him and living a life worth watching. We started this series last week called A Life Worth Watching. And what we're doing is we're kind of studying through the life of this guy in the Old Testament of the Bible named Elijah, who led an amazing life. And we're asking the question, what can we learn from him to help us live more amazing lives? And one of the things that you'll see if you look at Elijah's life is that there's this reoccurring phrase that occurs throughout the story. The phrase is, "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah," over and over again. Last week, if you were here, we started looking at his life, and we saw Elijah go and confront King Ahab. And then he walks out of the palace, and it's like, well, what to do next? The verse says, "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah," and he knew what to do. He went and hid in this area called Kereth Ravine, and he's drinking water from this little brook, this little stream. But then the stream dries up. What should he do? "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah." Over and over. Next week, we'll see it's been 3 long years of waiting. When is Elijah going to go back and confront King Ahab again? "Then the word of the Lord came to Elijah." Repeatedly, God gives Elijah direction. So it's not really Elijah's life that he's living. It's God's plan for his life that he's living out. And it's what leads him to live a life worth watching. And so if it's so important to hear God speak, to receive direction from him, why is it so difficult? You know, why is everyone asking that question? Well, can I suggest to you something maybe you've never thought of? Is it possible that really we don't want to hear from God? Maybe the question isn't, can we hear from God, or how do we hear from God? Maybe the question is, do we really want to? Because one thing you'll notice, and I guess I'll ask it this way. I don't know that we have many Bible scholars here. Maybe you don't know a whole lot about the Bible yet. But for those of you who do, answer this. Where in the Bible do we see someone receiving God's word, you know, God speaking to a person, and the person hears something that they want to hear? Where is anyone ever glad for what God tells them? The answer is just about never. It basically never happens in the entire Bible. Like, just take Elijah, this guy we're looking at in this story, in the series. So the first thing Elijah has to do for God is confront the king. That's intimidating. No one wants to do that, right? And then he leaves, and God tells him to go out and hide in this area called Kereth Ravine. And I mean, this is bad. This is like he's camping without camping gear, you know? This is like rock for a pillow, weeds for a blanket, poop over yonder and wipe with a leaf. You know, this is a bad existence that he's forced into. And during this time, he has to rely on ravens to bring him food to eat. Now, the idea of ravens bringing me roadkill for my meal makes me throw up in my mouth just a little bit. But for Elijah, it was much worse, because it wasn't just the roadkill, it was also the ravens. Elijah was a Jewish man who tried to live a kosher life, and ravens back then were considered a detestable bird, an unclean bird to be avoided. And so it was not just the roadkill, it was like the ravens. I mean, this was about as low as it could get for Elijah. Well, then the brook dries up and God tells Elijah to go to the city of, we saw this last week, Zarephath. Well, Zarephath was the last place Elijah would want to go because it was the birthplace of Baal worship. It was like going into the heart of darkness, going into enemy territory. It's not what Elijah wanted. In Zarephath, Elijah has to rely on this starving widow and her son to provide him food. It's awful. It would be like going up to the homeless-looking lady at the grocery store who's got four little shabbily dressed kids, and she's about to pay for her groceries with her food stamps and saying, hey, can I have your food stamps? Because I want to go get some chicken wings at the deli section. It's not something Elijah would want to do. And then next week, we're going to see that Elijah is told by God to go confront the king again. Yeah, because it went so well last time. And then we're going to see next week that God has Elijah staged in this showdown against hundreds and hundreds of Baal's prophets. Not cool. I don't think Elijah ever heard from God and said, thank you, God, that's what I wanted to hear. Never did God tell him something he wanted to hear. And so what makes us think we want to hear from God? And it's not just Elijah. You go through the entire Bible, you see this. Like Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve are told, you can do anything you want, except just don't eat the fruit from this one tree. But we quickly discover that that was the one thing that they didn't want to hear, and they eat the fruit from the tree. Noah. God tells Noah to build a boat when there is no sign of rain. I mean, there's no reason to build a boat, subjecting him to public embarrassment. And we all love to be ridiculed. I'm sure Noah loved that command of God. And then there's a guy named Abraham. God's word to Abraham is go. Leave everything you have, everything you know, and just go. And where do I go, God? Nope, I'm not going to tell you. You just go. I can picture Abraham going, MapQuest? Could I get a little map quick? GPS? How about just like a brochure of my destination? Just a little something. But God would not give him that information. A guy named Joseph, God's plan for Joseph included an extended stay in prison. Sign me up. That's a great plan, you know. There's a guy named Moses who talked like Porky Pig. And God chose Moses to be his stuttering spokesperson. Thanks. And after confronting the most powerful man in the world, stuttering all the way, he leads 2 million Jewish people out of slavery into the desert, where for 40 years he has to lead them as they complain and whine and nag at him. Fortunately, all of that was on Moses' bucket list. Or not. Nothing he wanted to do, right? There's a guy named Gideon. God says, you're going to lead my army, and you've got hundreds of people, and you're going to face thousands of soldiers. Thanks for those odds, God. There's a guy named Isaiah. God speaks to Isaiah and tells him, I want you to go through the towns and villages, teaching people about me, telling people my message, completely naked for 3 years. Now I'm thinking, no matter how secure you are with your body, that's not something you sign up for, you know? You're not happy about that word from the Lord, and Isaiah wasn't. Little David was felt led by God to face a mountain of a man, a giant of a man in a mano battle. There's Mary. She was an honorable virgin, pledged to be married to her fiancé when God told her that she was going to become pregnant out of wedlock, which in her little tight-knit religious town would have caused, you know, complete shame and ridicule. Sounds good. The apostles, Jesus' original 12 followers, after Judas commits suicide, all 11 of them are basically martyred for their faith and for telling people about Jesus. And there was a guy named Stephen who felt led by God to give this message, to give this sermon basically about Jesus, and he's stoned to death for it. There was Paul, who felt led by God to go from town to town establishing churches, and time after time he is beaten nearly to death and just left for dead. Where in the entire Bible do we ever see God speak to a person and that person is glad for what they hear? Where do we get the idea that we want to hear from God? And listen, it's not just Bible times. I mean, it continues all the way through today. Everyone I've ever met, me, like, I'm not the guy who, like, every day is really confident that I know what God's saying to me. I wish I was. I want to be someday, but I'm not that guy. But there have been some times where I knew that God was speaking to me, and it's never been what I wanted to hear. It was leave your full scholarship to law school and your upcoming lucrative law career to take on major school loans by going to seminary and landing a low-paying job as a pastor. It was leave the church of 11,000 where you just did an internship who's offering you a really good job to go to the new church of 80 people who's asking you to come and work for nothing because they have no money to pay you. It was leave that church that grew from 80 to 500 people very quickly and now can pay you to move to a city you've never been to start a new church there. It was leave that new church you started, which has grown very rapidly and is quite a success, to move to another new city to start another new church in probably the dumbest place in America to start a church in the heart of Sin City just off the Vegas Strip. And every time God's given me direction at each of those intersections, it was never what I wanted to hear. Never. And it's not just me. Last year, I spoke at this conference, and one of the other speakers was this guy named Ajay Lal. Ajay Lal is Indian. He is a missionary in India, and he told different stories from his ministry. One of the stories he told was about these two guys who put together this trip where the two of them and Ajay were going to go throughout India and allow Ajay to speak about Jesus to people in each town. And so they start the trip. It's going really well. One night they're kind of done for the day, and they tell Ajay, they say, tomorrow we're going to the city of Rajpura. Rajpura is a city of about 100,000 people. And they tell Ajay very excitedly, there's not a single Christian in Rajpura. In fact, Jesus has never been preached in Rajpura. You'll be the first person to ever tell these people about Jesus. We have put already 10,000 posters throughout the town announcing that tomorrow Ajay Lal is going to be speaking about Jesus in this town. What they neglected to tell Ajay was that Rajpura is a city where Islamic extremists and terrorists are trained, and where it's actually illegal to be a Christian, and that there was one person who went there to try to tell people about Jesus, but he was killed instantly. And the next day, they travel to Rajpura. They get to the town, and the police chief calls him in to meet with them. The police chief said, listen, there are thousands of people marching in protest because of your posters and because of this meeting that you're planning on having tonight. You cannot talk about Jesus here. You cannot meet. One of Ajay's friends said, you can't do that. We live in a democracy. You can't tell us what we can or cannot say. The police chief said, that is true, but if you are going to speak, we expect a riot. And so the only way we'll allow you to speak is if you sign this paper saying that if there is agitation in the crowd, if there is a riot that starts to develop, we have permission to shoot you. One of Ajay's two friends said, I'm ready to sign the paper right now. Give it to me. Ajay said, wait a second. You're not the one preaching about Jesus. I'm the one who's going to be speaking. I'm not sure I'm ready to sign that paper. So Ajay called home, and he said to his wife and kids, he explained the situation. He said, what should I do? His kids begged him to not speak that night. But his wife said to him, you will preach Jesus tonight, and you will preach the best message of your entire life, and we will be at home on our knees praying for you. So that night, Ajay showed up to speak, and there was a crowd, tens of thousands of people, including thousands of Islamic extremists who had showed up with guns and swords and iron rods in the crowd. And the police chief went up to Ajay with five of his police officers, each carrying an AK-47 rifle. And he said, do you see this man? He is going to be the one talking about Jesus tonight. When I give you the signal, if anything happens in the crowd, when I give you the signal, you shoot this man. Ajay walked up to speak that night with the five guys stationed around the crowd, each with their AK-47s pointed at him. Where do we get the idea that God will tell us things that we want to hear? It never happens that way. See, the question isn't whether God speaks. He does. And the question isn't, can we hear him? We can. And I realize maybe for some of you, you're new to this and you're like, that's, I don't know, are you sure? That just sounds weird to me. God speaks today and we can hear him, but we can. I think we may do a series later in this year about how to hear God speak, but really that's not the question. The question is, do we want to? Do we want to? Because when God speaks to us and gives us direction, he always leads us to dangerous places. He always leads us to great adventures we would never choose on our own. He always leads us to take daring risks. And when you think about it, nothing else makes sense. Nothing else would make sense. See, you and I, we want to minimize danger in our life, right? And so what we want to do is we want to increase our comfort and we want to increase our chances of success in whatever we do. But that will never lead us towards God, and it will never lead us towards living a life worth watching. See, here's what God's after. God wants us to have a vital reliance on him and that we would grow a deep bond with him through our dependence on him. But if we go through life playing it safe, then we don't need God, right? And so, of course, God's going to lead us to dangerous places that we would never dare go without him. And God wants us to live lives of faith. But you know, faith requires risk. If there is no risk, there is no faith. Risk leads to fear, and faith is our response to fear. Now, the other option, when we experience fear, risk can lead to fear, and we just live in that fear. And we allow the fear to stop us from moving forward. But what God wants is when that risk leads to fear, he wants us to respond with faith and move forward in faith. And so, you know, we want to live lives that are risk-free, but God wants us to live lives where we're free to risk. And God wants to show the world how great he is through our lives. But listen, if all we ever do is what we can do on our own, then the world will never see God in us. They'll just see us. And so it's only when we dare to do things, when we dare to go places that we would never do on our own, that the world can see God in us. And so it's the only thing that makes sense. Of course God is going to lead us to dangerous places. Of course he's going to ask us to do things we would never choose to do on our own. Of course he's going to lead us to take daring risks. See, here's the deal. God loves you. I don't know if you know that, but really, God loves you. And God has a plan for your life, but his plan for your life is probably nothing like what you would think it would be. God is going to call you to risk. He's going to cause you to experience fear, and he's going to ask you to choose to live in faith. And it may not be what you want to hear. When God speaks to you, it probably never will be, but it will always be right. And so what we need to do is we need to trust and we need to obey, okay? When God speaks, we obey because we trust him, not because it will go awesome. That's how we usually choose, right? I say yes to things that are going to go well. It may. It may go well if we choose to obey God. It may not. David followed God's plan for his life, and he got to chop Goliath's head off. John the Baptist followed God's plan for his life, and he got his own head chopped off. It may go awesome, or it may not, but we say yes regardless because God is God, and we trust him. And we know that God is love, and he wants our best. In fact, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 15, we'll put it on the screen for you. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will obey what I command." He said, it's about love. What we need to do is we need to get past a place where we love ourselves and want our best to a place where we love God and want his best. Really, whether we obey God or not boils down to two critical heart questions. And the questions are, who do we think God is? And why do we obey him? Who do you think God is? Who do you think God is? See, I think it works like this. If we think that God is something we rub, then when he asks us to obey him, and it's something we don't want to obey, it will rub us the wrong way. What do I mean by something we rub? I think the truth is, for a lot of us, most of the time, we think of God as kind of like a genie in a bottle. You know, it's like, I'm lucky to have him, and he exists to grant my wishes. And so whenever I want something, that's kind of rub, you know, I pray, and I ask God, and then he answers, and, you know, he gives me the better life that I hope to have. But if we think that way, then when God asks us to obey something we don't want to obey, it rubs us the wrong way. It's actually kind of insulting, isn't it? It's like, who is God to think that he could ask that of me? Because that's not what I want to do. God isn't our genie in a bottle. God is God. He is the great sovereign ruler of the universe, and he can ask us whatever he wants. Now, the cool thing for us is that God is love. That God is love. And so we realize, man, God is not vindictive. He's not capricious. When he asks us to do things, it is for our best, even if we don't realize it. Now, I love the way the Bible talks about this in the book of Proverbs. I'll put it on the screen, chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. See, what it's saying is, man, if you trust God, what you realize is that your understanding might not match up with his, but we trust him and we follow his ways. And when we do, we get to live out his plan for our life. See, who we think God is leads directly into this question of, why do we obey him? If our motive for obeying God is to receive his blessings, then we're in trouble, because a lot of the times God asks us to do things that just don't look right to us, you know? And it's because God does have a plan for your life, which is really cool to think about. God has a plan for your life. In fact, the Bible talks about this in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. And isn't that good news? God has a plan for your life. And it's not a plan to harm you. It's a plan to give you this great life where you're going to prosper, and he's going to give you hope and a future. And that's awesome. That's what we want. But the problem is, his plan rarely looks the way we want it to look. And so if we're only obeying when it looks right to us, we'll miss out on his plan, because God's perspective is so different from ours. His way of thinking is so different from ours. God talks about this in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. God says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He's saying, you're not going to typically understand what it is that I'm asking you to do or why I'm asking you to do it. And so if you're always looking for your own understanding, you know, if my reason for obeying is I want to be blessed, I want my plan to come into effect, and I want God to help me, then you're always going to say no, because my ways aren't your ways. And you'll say no when I ask you to act. But if instead you just trust me because you know who I am and you obey because I'm the one asking, then you will fall into my plan, and it will be better than anything you could have ever planned for yourself. See, when God speaks, and we listen, and we obey, that's when we get to live lives worth watching. But when God speaks and we don't obey because, that's not what I want to do, that's when we miss out on his plan, and we live lives that are boring and small. But man, when he speaks and we obey, we get to live out his plan. And I'll say this, I can speak for me. I told you, at every intersection of my life, God told me very clearly, I knew what God wanted me to do, and every time it went against my plan. Every single time. But looking back, God was right every time. I never thought it. I never, like, imagined it was. But I just said, okay, I know what God's telling me to do, and so I'm going to do it. And every time he was right. And what God has done is given me an adventure, and he has given me a life, like, way better than any script I could have written for myself. And it's not just me. You remember Ajay Lal? So he's going through all the towns in India speaking about Jesus, and he goes to the town of Rajpura, and the police chief says to his five policemen, as this man speaks, If there's any agitation in the crowd, I am going to give the signal, and I want you to shoot him so that we can stop the riot. And so these guys get in position. They point their AK-47s at Ajay Lal. Well, that night, the time finally came, and he walks up to the microphone. Can you imagine? He starts to speak about Jesus for 40 minutes. He talks about how Jesus is unique, and Jesus is truly the only one who can bring us to God. Jesus is the only one that can offer us salvation. Jesus is the only one who can give us hope. Finally, after 40 minutes, the police chief stands up. Ajay Lal, right? This is the moment. And the police chief shouts out to the crowd, stop. He says, I have always hated Christians and hated Jesus, but now I have finally heard the message. And this is the message of life. This is the message of salvation and hope. And together, they started a church in the city of Rajpura. And that church went on to start another church in the city of Rajpura. Man, you listen to Ajay Lal tell stories of what's happening in his life and in India through him. Whew, that guy is living a life worth watching. You remember John Perkins and his wife? They're traveling around the northwest coast of Africa, just outside off the coast of Liberia. And they just have this sense, this nudge. This is where you're supposed to stop. And so they go to the ship's captain and they say, this is it. This is our destination. Can you please take the boat to the shore so we can get off? And the captain says, no, I cannot, because this is cannibal country, and if you get off the boat, if we stop, I mean, people go there and they never come back. You can't stop there. Well, they refused to take his refusal as an answer, and so what happened was the ship's captain and his officers put all of the Perkins' belongings and the Perkins into a rowboat and told them that they would have to row to shore. Unbeknownst to the Perkins, there was a man living in that area, in kind of inland in Liberia, named Jasper Toe. Jasper Toe was a guy who, he believed that there was a God, but he had never even heard the name of Jesus. Well, one night, he was looking up into the moonlit sky, and he prayed this prayer. He said, if there is a God in heaven, help me to find you. And Jasper Till heard a voice. He said it was a voice he had never heard before. I don't know that it was out loud. It may have been inside. I don't know. But the voice said this to him. The voice said, go to Garraway Beach. When you get there and you look out on the water, you will see a black box floating on the water with smoke coming out of it. Out of that black box will come a little box with people in it. Listen to those people and they will lead you to me. Jasper Toe walked for 7 days through the jungles until finally he arrived on Garraway Beach on Christmas Day, 1908. And as he arrived, it just so happened that that was when John Perkins and his wife felt God's nudge. This is the place you're supposed to go. The captain said no, and Jasper Toe is standing on the beach, and he sees what to him looks like a black box with smoke coming out of it, and then this little box comes out of the big box, and there's these people rowing into shore, and when they arrive, Jasper Toe indicates for them to follow him, and they walk for 7 days through the jungles towards his village. Can you imagine being John Perkins and his wife, following this guy, can't speak the language, you can't communicate with him, he's just leading you deeper and deeper into the jungles. Each night you go to sleep wondering what's going to happen to you. Who is this person who's leading us? Finally, they get to Jasper Toe's village, the village that the Perkins would make their home. And Jasper Toe taught the Perkins his language. And then the Perkins taught Jasper Toe about Jesus. And they led him to faith in Christ. And together, Jasper Toe and the Perkins started a church in that village in the jungles of Liberia. And then Jasper Toe went on to start hundreds and hundreds of churches throughout Liberia. Jasper Toe and the Perkins led lives worth watching. And the reason was because they were willing to hear what they maybe didn't want to hear. And they were willing to obey God no matter what he said, because they trusted him and they wanted to experience his plan for their lives. But what about you? What about you? Are you willing to hear what you don't want to hear? Are you willing to obey, not because it's what you want, because it's in accordance with your plan, but simply because God's the one who said it, and he is the supreme God, king, and ruler of everything, including your life. And he's got a plan for your life that's better than yours. I'll tell you this, when you're ready to hear what you don't want to hear and to obey no matter what, that's when you get a life worth watching, just like Elijah. We're going to give you some time to think about that right now. We're just going to give you a couple minutes and just kind of a quiet time. And during this time, you can think about what you heard today. You can think about what are your next steps. But I would encourage you to listen for God. And for some of you, I realize that may be a foreign concept. You know, you might be like, I came here not sure if I believe in God. Now you want me to listen and expect God to speak to me. Maybe he will. Maybe inside you'll get this nudge, you'll have this feeling, you'll hear this voice, and you'll just be sure of what your next step is, of what God's communicating to you. It may be, I love you. I want a relationship with you. It may be, I've got this challenge in front of you, and you're going to be scared when you hear it, but man, if you'll just do it, we'll do this together, and it will be amazing. I want to encourage you to listen to God's voice, and maybe you'll be surprised. During this time, we'll also make communion available. Communion is on the tables with the candlelight on each side of the room, and communion is a piece of bread and a cup of juice that represent Jesus' body and blood. You know, Jesus came to earth to live as a human being, and God had a plan for his life, and God's plan included him going to a cross, which is not something Jesus wanted to hear, but it was what's best, and it's what gave us the chance at life and a relationship with God and eternal hope. And so during this time, if you'd like to bring communion back to your seat and pray, you can use that as just a way to remember what Jesus did for you and to thank him for the sacrifice he made for you. Thank him that he was willing to hear what he didn't want to hear, and he was willing to obey what he might not have wanted to obey. So let me pray, and we'll give you guys a couple minutes. The band's going to play a song during this time, and we'll give you guys a chance to talk to God, to listen to God, or maybe just think about what you experienced today. Let's pray. God, thanks for being a God who loves us so much and cares so much about the details of our life that you actually have a plan for our life. You have ideas about how our life should go and what we should do and where we should be. God, I want to thank you that your plan for our life does not match up with our plan for our lives. I want to thank you, God, that you call us to things that we would never choose on our own. That you lead us places that we're afraid to go. That you ask us to obey things that seem like they may not be what's best or most comfortable or pleasurable or profitable for us. Because it's only in those moments, it's only when we dare to venture out into the unknown, into fearful places, that we get to really experience the vital, radical reliance and dependence on you that we were made for. That we get to bond with you in a deeper way than we ever would have without that. And that we get to live our lives in faith and show this world how great you are because we're doing things that we would never do on our own. God, it's difficult and it's confusing, but thank you that your ways are not our ways, that your thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God, my prayer for Verve is that we would become a people who are willing to do whatever it is that you call us to do, little things, big things, scary things. God, we want to live an adventure with you. We want to live lives worth watching. We thank you for Jesus and the sacrifice he made. We pray in his name. Amen.